Hi, I'm David Murphy, and I'm talking today with Raphael Dana, who is founder and CEO of Galixo. Raphael, good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So, Raphael, tell our readers and listeners what Galixo is and what you do, please.
So, Galixo is a boutique consultancy firm specialized in disruptive business strategy for tech companies or for tech projects inside big enterprise. And we operate at global level. So we have our team is spread all around the world. And we're here to fix all the business issues in a tech company or in a tech project. Because we believe that today there's great engineers, great idea, great product. But we see a lot of failure in many of the startups. So we've basically built a range of service and methodology to help those companies grow and succeed.
Okay, now you're a fairly new company, so where have you come from? What's your background, and if it's possible to sort of generalize the background of the people that that you have working for you, helping these startups?
So, as you know, I'm the founder of this company. Originally, I'm a serial entrepreneur. So, 95, I was in the Web 1.0 wave, and I had one of the largest web agency in Switzerland. So, I'm from a consulting background, and after I was in the media, and it's true that when I decided to come back in the tech field, I've realized actually this big gap in terms of business solution. So that's where I ended at the end. And in terms of the team, we have a multidisciplinary team, meaning that it includes creative people, engineers, business people, marketing experts. So we believe on the fact that you need to have this multiple expertise in the same team in able to find the right solution. Because today there's so many components in order to succeed that you need to have diversified skills and diversified cultural behavior. That's why also the team is from a different region and with different cultural background.
Okay, and you and I met a couple of weeks ago, and I was interested by the way that your team works. You have these consultants, if that's the right word, spread across the globe, you know, one in Singapore, one in Dubai, wherever it is. How does that work in practice then? Do they pull together sort of local experts as and when they're needed as a consultant with these companies?
So how it works basically is that we have our core team. So the core team, as you said, is spread based inside co-working because we believe in the value of understanding each ecosystems that include startups, enterprise, university, venture capital firms, angel. And if you're in Singapore or if you're in London, it's completely different. The mindset, how it works. So that's the core team where we manage project. Then we have a second layer of experts or freelance experts that are connected to us and that we don't need all the time. But on any specific project, we can basically create any state-of-the-art custom team, and that's really important. So if we're in a pharma project, we have pharma experts or sports experts. So there's also some vertical by industry and also some really fields of specialization like gaming or health. So this is how we are structured.
Okay, and in terms of your coverage, how many sort of core people do you have around the world at the moment in how many locations? What's the sort of scalability of that look like?
So actually right now we're 8 people. Actually, we started 8 months ago. And now we're opening a different market. So we have some new people coming into Brazil, US. And soon we will have 12 points of contact on 12 different markets worldwide. We're at around 6 markets. So we're growing quite fast and learning from all these different ecosystems. And we're also connecting the dots because we find out that many startups have a lot of competitors in other markets. They don't even know because sometimes it's really local. You have a lot of venture capital firms. They have the same investment strategy, but one can be in China, one in London, one in the US, and they don't really know each other. So we have a lot of research and knowledge where it's about connecting the dots between all the ecosystems worldwide.
Okay, and just in terms of your own team then, you could imagine it could be quite a lonely way to work in some respects. How do you keep your team together? How often do you physically meet up? And in between times, how do you communicate with each other?
So basically, we have a really straightforward way of working where every quarter we have what we call our boot camp. So we already had three of them. The first one was in Silicon Valley, the second one in Marrakesh, and the third one in London, actually, where we met the cocktail. And then it's like a boot camp of 10 days where the entire team meet all together. And here it's more about the strategy. So we define together what's going to be the action plan for the next quarter. And then it's also the ability to have the team living together for 10 days nonstop, working intensively. And then when everybody is back home, then it's more about execution. But in the meantime, part of the team member meet myself. I'm always in the plane, so I visit my team all the time. I go all around the world. So it gives a lot of independence and freedom. So we're saving a lot of time, not commuting. And actually, we put a lot of this time and this money back in knowledge and events to build our network.
Okay, and in terms of early sort of success stories, is there anything you can share with us today?
So we already have like six, seven different type of project. It was like mostly specific mission, but I think one of the key project where we can already define the return on investment. We worked for a medium-sized venture capital firm that were about to make an investment, and we made a strategic audit. And actually, the strategic audit cost basically 3% of the cost of the investment they were about to perform. And based on the strategic audit, investors find out that actually the company was not going on the right way based on all the questions and all the different worries or doubt we had, and actually where they couldn't answer back most of the question. So actually they decided not to make their investment. Well, actually for them it was a proper return investment based on the fact that if they have done it, it would have been like as I just said, it was 3% of the amount they were about to invest.
Sure, and I can see when you're talking about working with startups, I can see that working with a VC firm and taking 3% of the money they were planning to invest, I can see where you make your money, obviously. But when you're working at the other end of the spectrum with the startups, the perception is that these guys don't have a lot of money. So is that work as interesting for you, or do you tend to be consulting with the companies that are thinking of investing in the startups as you just described?
So, we believe a lot in testing. So I said what actually we apply for our clients, we apply to ourselves. So it's true that when we started, we were really concentrating on a lot of startups. We had some of them that understood the value of getting the right strategy. But it's true that it's a bit more difficult for them to understand. And it's true, like even me being an entrepreneur, when you have your own idea and your own vision, even if when you have outside people coming, you need to really understand the value. So I think we're still educating people on the value we can bring to them. And as we start now, it's most of the time mid-sized projects. So they want to test and to see how is it going. But it's true that now we have more traction with investors and some enterprise firm. But at the same time, connecting and talking and working with startups every day is part of our knowledge, because we want to be the center of innovation and idea. And I think today everybody knows that it doesn't happen in big enterprise. We can even see tech giant, they buy out new startups and new company every day all around the world. So we also want to be fueled directly by this innovation and ideation of all the startups in all those ecosystem.
Okay, and I'm interested to know, because you've got a very good global overview of this. We know that Silicon Valley is hot for tech. We like to think in London that we're sort of up there with the best of them. But from what you see around the world, where are the real hotspots and innovation coming from, would you say?
So actually, we have just to understand a first belief where actually we make the difference between where are the best lab and best practice place and where is the market.
Okay.
So I think clearly Silicon Valley and I would say even in a broader sense, the US ecosystem is really the lab today. If we take Boston, New York, Austin, San Francisco, just between those four cities, that's where most of the innovation in tech happens. But the reality, if we take the example of the smartphone market, the US is around something 20% of the market share on smartphone. So the belief is that it's not anymore the market. You still have a bit less than 80% of the smartphone market outside the US. So even if you're number one in the US today, it doesn't mean you will be able to conquer the entire planet. And we have some really specific ecosystem like China or Russia that are completely independent ecosystem in terms of social, of search. Most of the actors and players are different company with different language. So it's true that in the Western world, we have this belief that Google and Facebook rule on the entire planet, but it's not the case of really big market. And I think China is a good example of a more than a billion people market where we don't have those companies. So it's really important to understand where to go. And other interesting market are Turkey or Malaysia, Brazil, many of them.
Okay, good stuff. Raphael, it's fascinating. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, and keep us posted as and when you've got news to talk to us about.
Perfect. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.